Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart. Being intentional in our devotion to pursuing God during our lifelong Christian journey. Please listen to my podcast, The Tongue Series, with various topics on how to use or not use our words. This is helpful when it comes to communicating, especially in our personal relationships. Lesson 7, Our Words. Words either build up or tear down. Our words have the potential to help or harm others. They can be beneficial or detrimental. Our words can be based on truth or deceit. They can shape how others think about God, others, or themselves. They can cause a person to feel worthless or valued. They can inspire and encourage or discourage. Words can cause shame and deep humiliation, or they can give hope and forgiveness. Indeed, words are powerful for good or bad. They will draw people toward us or push them away from us. Something that can't be taken back is our words. Therefore, we need to take seriously the words that come out of our mouth. Let's look at what James in the New Testament says. James 3, verses 7 through 12. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. In these verses, James is telling us, as humans, we have the amazing ability to tame the wildest and most powerful creatures on earth. But how is it that humans can't tame that little beast in their own mouth, their tongue? James states our words are a restless evil and full of deadly poison. We spit out like a spitting cobra that is full of deadly venom. The Greek word for restless, such as a restless evil, means unstable. Our words are unstable because at times they can be wild and out of control as we lash out any words we want without using any restraint. And then at other times with this same tongue, we use words for a good purpose that bless both God and people. God's word says it should not be this way. We should not be using our words for both good and bad, godly and evil, hurtful or healing. It's clear on our own. We can't tame our tongue. But with God's help, we can do so much better with the way we use our words that please Him. Why do we struggle with taming our tongue? Luke 6:45, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart or mind. Because of what is in our heart, what is in our thoughts, we struggle with our tongue, with our words. What's in our heart, what's in our mind, will come out in our words. If we have anger in our hearts, if we think angry thoughts, then angry words, angry reactions will come out of our mouth. our words will display the anger in our hearts and minds. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we need a godly heart change in order to change what comes out of our mouth. When we change what our thoughts are, then the way we use our tongue will be different. Godly heart and godly thoughts equals godly words that please God. Let's look at examples of how a woman that pursues the heart of God uses her tongue wisely. Proverbs 14, verse 1, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Now, the type of wisdom used in this verse is kakam wisdom. This means to be wise in how we deal with people. How we use our words to build others up, especially in our own home. On contrast, a foolish woman who does not have kakam wisdom tears people, those in her own home, down with her own words. She uses her tongue in a negative, harmful way. This verse is particularly speaking about those in her family, but generally speaking, it would apply to whoever she is talking to. She is intentional about making sure her words are kind. Proverbs 31, verse 26, the law of kindness is on her tongue. This woman is intentional about making sure her words are kind. It is a law she makes with her very own tongue and intends not to break that law, and therefore is set on speaking kindly. We don't want to minimize how destructive our tongue can be. Don't fall into the trap. Well, we're all human. Everybody gets frustrated. No one listens to me unless I give them a tongue lashing, and etc. Yes, it's understandable to get overwhelmed and want to set our tongue free to waggle whichever way it wants. But God says we ought not to do this. We can firmly address a situation, but not with unkindness. We're not talking about perfection, but rather progression. We all make mistakes with our mouth. The key is to take seriously what can come out of our mouth. If we let the beast out of its cage and therefore we keep it confined instead as we think of a better way to use our words. Now, just a note, there is a balance in concepts. Yes, the law of kindness is on our lips, but this does not mean there are times when we need to be strong in what we are saying, be firm in our tone, correct with seriousness when needed. But we still do not use unkindness when saying difficult things. Here is the key to doing this. It's called the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The beginning and all the way to the end of the book of Proverbs speaks many times of the fear of the Lord, because this is what grounds us in choosing to do and say what is right in the sight of God. The reason the Proverbs 31 woman's example is so important is because everything she did or did not do, said or did not say, was built upon the strong foundation of having the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is referred to as being aware and having awe toward the one true God that was so powerful and wise that he created the entire universe and all that is in it. Therefore, we honor him by not going against his wise ways. Fear of the Lord is having respect for God and Jesus who created us as individuals. We realize we are mere mortals that absolutely need to obey God. We do this because we are to love Him with all our heart. When we obey, we show we love Him, are in awe of Him, honor Him, and respect Him way above ourselves or any other person or anything. Let's do PAT, practical application tools. 3 ways to build with our words. 1, our words matter. 2, our tone matters. 3, our timing matters. First way, our words matter. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it. This proverb notes the fact that words are powerful and have a tremendous effect, either for good or bad. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is only partially true. The whole truth is, yes, bones can be broken with objects, but a heart can be broken with words. Our words carry immense significance, more than we actually realize. They can impact both young and old for decades, for good or bad. Words can be forgiven, but they are hard to forget and repair. This does not mean relationships are forever harmed or broken, but it takes lots of time and effort to undo what was said in the heat of the moment. It's better to be preventive than to try to fix it. How we use our words is incredibly important to God. Here are only a few verses that show us God wants us to be intentional about practicing the wise use of our tongue. Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your words always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Proverbs 15, 1 and 4. A gentle answer or words turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soothing tongue or words is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever keeps his mouth, his word, his tongue, keeps himself out of trouble. Here's an interesting quote. Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Second way to build with our words, our tone matters. Tone of voice is defined as the emotions or attitude we send out to others when we are talking. Tone of voice goes beyond the words we say. It is how our words are received because of the way we say those words. Different tones can also be defined as delivery. How you deliver what you are saying. How did you convey your message? Most likely, we all have heard, it's not what you say, but how you say it that matters. For example, aggressive and arrogant, defensive or accusatory, frustrated and demeaning, or respectful even though frustrated, self-controlled even though exasperated, patient even though disgusted. This is called having a filter. Did you clean up what you wanted to say, but know you shouldn't say, and therefore didn't say it? That's having a filter that will help with our tone. Having a filter is also used in another way. Filter out the lack of courage to speak the truth, to correct and rebuke when necessary. Filter is all about not only choosing our words and then saying them with the right tone, but it's also about this. Do I really need to use more words or less words? Do I really need to use those particular words, such as, I just think you are really wrong, instead of filtering that with a good tone that says, well, my perspective on what you did is this. And do I really need to say those things to that particular person? Just a note, this does not mean when people accuse you of being unloving in your delivery, you actually are being unloving. Maybe you are, but maybe they just don't like what you are saying, but how you are saying it is good. They might be hypersensitive and simply not like the truth you are speaking. Do your best and realize just because you are accused of not saying something nicely does not mean that accusation is always right. Six ways to improve your tone of voice. One, be aware of how loud your voice is. Softer tones calm conversations. Loud voices can cause chaos. Two, for some reason, people that smile when talking seem to win people over far more than those that have what's called the look on their face. People can take that like, they don't like me. They're mad at me again. Another fight, another night. Smiles put people at ease, even if they're not deserved. Plus, it settles you. Three, emotions out of control, or just emotions in general, can cause a tone. For example, when emotions run high with feeling exasperated, the tone of voice will sound exasperated. It doesn't mean we are not exasperated or can't show that we are, but usually it means we need to bring it down a few notches if we are going to be more rational and realistic, almost businesslike, with the goal of finding solutions instead of an emotional confrontation, which only causes more conflict in most cases. Four, speed of speech matters. When people talk too much and too fast, then their tone usually causes unrest in the listener because they get overwhelmed with TMI, too much info, too fast. And then people can get agitated or feel a sense of tension or just shut down. Five, being concise with just a few main points somehow helps the tone of voice be far more professional and peaceful versus people going on overload because of all the rabbit trails. Stay on point and speak what's on your mind with confidence. This helps the other person trust what you are saying because your tone radiates teamwork instead of enemies in a battleground shooting off way too many words. Snide. Six, snide, sarcastic, snippy, snotty, snooty remarks never have a good tone. It's like vinegar and water. They just don't mix with a good attitude and a good voice projection. Of course, this goes back to the point of words matter and the law of kindness. But just to reemphasize, there is no kindness in being snarky. Third way to build with our words. Our timing matters. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and do not give the devil an opportunity. This is a very controversial verse and a verse that many times Christians take out of context. They take it just absolutely literal instead of rationally taking it in context, including other scriptures that have to do with resolving conflict. For example, it's not literal when the Bible calls us sheep. Rationally, we act like sheep, but we are not sheep. Likewise, with this verse, it would make no sense. Absolutely every time with every person over every subject. To make absolutely sure, you must work out a problem before the sun goes down. Well, what if it's 10 minutes before the sun goes down and there's no way a major conflict can be worked out in that short a time? What if a woman is about to give birth before the sun goes down? What if a person is sick? And there are a lot of rational what ifs that make the absolute law on this not possible. And therefore, God did not actually mean it in this way that we as humans are taking it. It's not saying when anger shows up, check to see how quick the sun is going down and then make it a race to totally resolve the anger issue. Force it. Make another person resolve it. Hurry, because the sun is quickly going down. Ignore the crying baby. Don't feed the kids dinner. Just get it resolved right this very minute. But when understood in context, these verses mean the exact opposite of racing through your anger problems because the sun is your determining factor. The sun is not the determining factor. It means don't sin by letting anger control you for a long period of time. It means take care of it as quickly as possible. The key word is possible. And also take care of it. This verse is a reminder that your anger can be destructive, so don't bury it or ignore it. But also be considerate of the other person. Perhaps you need to process, or they do, so you don't put more fuel on the fire of anger. This can take time. So to recap, the true meaning of this verse in context is we don't let anger go unresolved. The focus is not on the literal sunset or exact timing. The key is to deal with the anger ASAP with the right heart. Otherwise, Satan will use your anger to go deeper and deeper. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Now, we're going to bring in some other scriptures that has to do with this, since God is a God of balance. There is one whose rash words are like sword thus, but the words of the wise bring healing. We all know when there is anger in a situation, rash words can thrust into hearts of others. Wisdom is making sure we are settled down enough to make sure we aren't rash in dealing with a problem in a quick, aggressive way. Timing matters, but it should consider the people involved, all parties. We are to pursue peace, as stated in Hebrews 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This is also a verse to keep in mind when don't let the sun go down on your anger. It does no good and many times can cause even more anger when we force someone to talk to us for the sake of dealing with anger before the sun goes down, immediately, right now, no matter what. How is that pursuing peace? How is that respecting another person's readiness to resolve a conflict and making sure our own heart is in the right place so our words are not like the thrusting of a sword? We can't be controlling and demanding and be spiritually offensive by absolutely insisting, "This verse says you must discuss the problem about anger with me right now before the sun goes down." To recap, yes, deal with the issue as soon as possible. But wisdom is making sure people have time to settle down so more anger is not added. Timing is important. Each person should know they will pick up where they left off to find a solution, but not continue in anger. James 1, verse 20, "The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The Word of God is telling us anger doesn't work. Anger is an ineffective tool that shows we are out of control. God would be contradicting himself if he was telling us to not let the sun go down on our anger while at the same time telling us when we are still angry, just work it out. We would not be doing what is balanced and right and rational in his sight. Since God never contradicts himself, then this means we are misusing scripture by not understanding what God truly meant. We need to take all of scripture in context that has to do with the topic and not just twist one and do it our way. Let's talk about six other ways three other ways timing is important. One, waiting our turn to talk and not interrupting. Proverbs 15, verse 2, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Two, don't waste time by going on rabbit trails. Stay on topic, be concise, precise, and to the point. Too many words weaken what is being said, and it overwhelms the other person. Proverbs 10, verse 19, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Three, read the room. Proverbs 13, verse 3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." For example, if a spouse just got home from work or is overwhelmed from caring for sick children all day long, or a child's team just lost a game, or a Bible teacher's getting ready to teach, or there are many scenarios where we need to stop and consider if there is not a better time to talk. This is simply being considerate of another person's time and what their brain can handle in that particular moment. Here are some tips from the experts in timing with communication. One, is there too much commotion going on? For example, tired kids that need to be fed and are therefore upset, a room filled with loud music, too many people in a room talking all at once. You want people to be able to concentrate on the conversation without a bunch of distractions. Two, is that person in the best frame of mind? Are they tired, sick, or had an exceptionally hard, discouraging, stressed out day? You want you or others to have the ability to engage at the highest level possible. Otherwise, it can get really frustrating when we try to force conversations. 3, when there is tension, conflict, confusion, plan out what your main points are. Sometimes talking out loud to the other person as we're trying to figure things out can add to more conflict and confusion. So think before you speak, and remember, the less words and the more precise the words are, the better. 4, is it better to put a time to talk on the calendar and go to a quiet place, even a room with the door shut, because it's just not the right time to get into it right now? It's important both people or whoever else is involved knows there is a commitment to resolve the issue and not just ignore it or give up. 5, and of course, prayer, seeking God's guidance, asking for Him to help you as well as all involved gets our mindset in the right place. Pleasing God with what we say, how we say it, and doing it in the right timing is what the main goal is to achieve solutions. To recap, 3 ways to build with our words. 1, our words matter. 2, our tone matters. And 3, our timing matters. The woman that pursues the heart of God uses her words in a wise way. She understands the importance of building with what she says and not tearing down with her tongue. Words are lasting. They have a lasting effect for godly and good, or useless and bad. We want to be women that God uses to influence others with wise words that matter. We can't do that if we let that beast called our tongue poison others with what we say. Instead, we want to have self-control as we say what needs to be said in a powerful, healing, beneficial way. Or don't say it. Sometimes silence is the best thing to do. We must keep practicing being intentional about carefully and cautiously being aware of how our words will affect those who hear them. God always honors those who hold on to Him as they try to be a doer of His word. God help us, because we sure will need it when our little beast wants to get out of control. Please subscribe and share. Thanks so much for listening. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever."